Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. We're on the phone with a guest from Albany this morning. Let me introduce you, listeners, to James Deering, Esquire. He's the Bureau Chief in the New York State Attorney General's Office Healthcare Bureau. Good morning, Mr. Deering. Hi. Welcome to HealthLink On Air.
Good morning. How are you?
Glad to have you here. You know, I don't usually think of the Attorney General's office involvement in healthcare.
Yes, we have a program through the Healthcare Bureau that's been around for a number of years where we work to safeguard and enforce people's rights in the healthcare field.
And, you know, that is absolutely fascinating to me. Our listeners know that this is an environment I work in, really helping patients get the help they need, whether it's with the medical system or with their insurance system. And here you are cleaning up a lot of these loose ends, problems that people have. I didn't know you existed, so I'm really excited that you're going to be talking to us about this morning and helping our listeners understand what kinds of services are involved.
Great. My pleasure.
Now, you have, a group of advocates on your staff who can work with patients, am I right?
Yes. We have a group of advocates who assist patients with their individual issues, and then through those efforts, we can see systemic issues, and attorneys can open investigations using that information.
So you really can take it from the individual who you're holding their hand in effect for a number of different things, and we'll get into what those might be in a moment. You can take that right through when you see something that's more general is happening to a lot of people. You can even get into policy, can't you?
We can, in the sense that what we do is we tackle fraud and deception in the healthcare marketplace. So we have jurisdiction to go after those systemic issues and correct the problems.
This is just fascinating to me. It's exciting because these are all the things I write about and speak about. So let's talk about some of those things. A patient can contact you, and we'll make sure, of course, that we share contact information in a moment. But they contact you and they come to you with a problem. Say they have a complaint about a doctor. Let's start there.
Sure. And I can give you a little bit of information about the different types of matters we handle.
Yes, and that's what I want to do.
Okay, great. What I like to tell people, if they have a healthcare concern, you know, give us a call. We'll help them, either if it's something we handle directly or if we can help them navigate the complex healthcare system. It would depend on the issue with a doctor. For example, if it was an issue concerning misconduct by a doctor, then we can direct them to the entity that deals with that by statute. Or if it's a billing issue with a doctor, we can handle that directly and get an advocate on board. Primarily, most of the matters that we get really relate to people's insurance coverage and insurers not living up to the promises in their policies.
Or at least from their perspective at the moment, the insurer is not living up to the promise.
Correct.
Okay. And so they contact you, and what happens? So say I'm having a problem then with my insurance company. I think they're supposed to cover a test I just had, and they're not covering it, and I think they should. So what happens?
This is what happens, and the easiest way to contact us is through our helpline, which is 1-800-428-9071.
Okay, and we'll repeat that. So
okay.
Go ahead.
And that number rings directly to intake staff in the healthcare bureau. The Attorney General set it up that way. He wanted to make sure that it didn't go through what they call touch-tone torture, where you have to press this button or that button, where you go directly to someone in the healthcare bureau. They'll take the basic information in terms of your name, your contact information, the insurance company involved, and what the issue is. Then that matter will then get assigned to an advocate in our office who will contact the insurer, look at the relevant documents, and advocate for the consumer to try to resolve it.
Okay. And so there could be a couple of different outcomes there. So I think that my insurer is supposed to cover this, and your advocate can look at that, my insurance policy, right?
Correct.
And maybe the insurance was supposed to cover it, and maybe not. So it's not like you can fix a hole in my insurance that exists, can you?
That's true. To the extent that insurance coverage exists, number one, that's what the advocate determines and then pushes to get the coverage that is owed to the consumer.
And I'm going there specifically because I don't want people to think that they can buy a lesser insurance and have you turn around and cover up the gaps for them.
That's true. That's a good point, because we do get some complaints where the coverage just isn't there.
Right.
And we also try to explain to people in that process the limits on their coverage, so they'll be better informed when purchasing insurance in the future.
And then, am I right in guessing then that, say, you start hearing from a number of different consumers, patients, whichever term we want to use, you start hearing from them about the same kind of issue. What happens then?
What happens in that case, we see the pattern, and then an attorney will get involved, and the attorney will contact the insurer, let them know that we have a number of complaints in this area. It raises concern with us. We have issues with regard to whether or not the law is being complied with. And usually what we do is request documents related to the issue. That's usually done by a letter. Mm-hmm. And insurers will comply. But if push comes to shove, we have subpoena power, so we can subpoena the documents.
You do. So you really are looking at what, in effect, is contract law.
It's a lot of different things. Our jurisdiction is very broad. It relates to fraud and deception in the healthcare marketplace. So
yeah,
that could be a lot of different things. But the bulk of our complaints relate to, as I had mentioned, you know, compliance with insurers' obligations under their contracts. So it can be contract law, and then the insurance law, for example, and also the public health law has certain requirements in terms of processing of claims. So we could be looking at issues under those as well.
Yeah, because I do know that I've heard from people that, you know, say they had to pay for something up front. It might have been an out-of-network doctor, for instance. They're expected to pay for something. They pay for it. They go to get a reimbursement from their insurer, and they have trouble with that, and that can go on for months.
Yes, and one of the systemic issues that the Attorney General's office had identified was reimbursement under out-of-network policies. And the Attorney General had set up a healthcare industry task force, which I was a part of for purposes of that investigation. And we looked into that issue and got some great results with regard to reforming the out-of-network reimbursement industry.
You're now setting up a database, right, to address some of that?
That's correct. As part of the settlements with the national insurers as well as insurers in New York State that used a certain reimbursement methodology called usual, customary, and reasonable, they've agreed to use a new independent not-for-profit entity that's creating a database for those reimbursements.
Well, you and I spoke earlier, and we were talking about this database, and you have to get the irony, and I hope listeners can understand this. The database that the insurers were using before this for the usual and customary and reasonable, love that word reasonable, was actually being produced by the insurance companies themselves.
That's true. There was a company by the name of Ingenix, which was owned by United Healthcare, which is one of the major insurers in the U.S., and that company was providing United and other insurers rates to use for purposes of out-of-network reimbursement.
Yeah. They were their own numbers, so they could really do anything they wanted to them.
There were issues with regard to that, as with regard to transparency as well. So
right,
there are a whole number of things that our efforts tackled and resolved.
So now we're talking about billing issues, and one of the other things that comes up every once in a while is the question of balance billing. And as I understand the law, providers, when they accept a patient, they are also accepting that patient's payment system. So balance billing is the practice of billing the patient the difference between what their insurance covers and what the doctor thinks or the provider thinks he or she should be paid. Is that something else you address? Because that's illegal, isn't it, balance billing?
Yes, balance billing, when a provider, a doctor, or another type of healthcare provider participates with the consumer's healthcare plan, then by contract and by law, that provider is agreeing to accept the negotiated rate between him or her and the insurer, and can't bill the consumer except for, you know, a copay or other terms under the contract.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if they do that, that is illegal. That is something that we tackle, and and we have helped people with issues like that.
Now, what happens if somebody comes to you with an issue that you don't typically take care of? It's not necessarily insurance. It's not necessarily fraud. It's not necessarily, say, something like balance billing. What happens if they contact you and it just isn't something that one of your advocates can help them with?
Sure. What happens, and I have to say that, and I'm biased because I work in the Bureau, but the level of service that we provide here is excellent. And one of the difficulties with the healthcare system is that it is so complex, so often people don't know where to turn. So if people call here with an issue that isn't something that would, fall within what we do, then we refer the matter to the appropriate entity or we provide the people the information, the contact information, so they can call the entity directly.
So you're really kind of like one-stop shopping for anything except maybe symptoms that they need to see a doctor for, right?
That's right.
You're not going to solve their health problems. You're just going to solve their resource problems.
Correct.
That's great. You know, if you could, I would love to hear some stories about some successes. When, again, you and I spoke earlier, you were telling me about some of the really positive things the advocates have been able to help with. And I actually choked up at the one story you were talking about, someone who was close to bankruptcy.
Yes, and I have to say, I can't say enough about the advocates in our Bureau. They are fantastic, and they get great results, and they're very dedicated. The one story that you mentioned, there was a gentleman who had written a thank you note to one of our advocates, and the advocate shared the note with me. And what it was is the gentleman had received a significant amount of health care debt and was in collections. The provider was seeking legal recourse against the consumer. The consumer thought that his insurance company should have covered it, and there was a dispute there. And our advocate had looked into the issue and determined that the insurer, in fact, should have made the payment and got the insurer to make the payment. In the thank you letter, the consumer had mentioned that it was right before Christmas. He was in collections with regard to this. It was a significant amount of money. And he actually had to sit down his kids and say, "Kids, I'm sorry, this Christmas there aren't going to be any presents from the family because eating is more important." And he also indicated that he and his wife were in threat of losing the house because of the debt. And when they received the letter from our advocate indicating that the matter was resolved, in the thank you note, the gentleman indicated that he and his wife sat together, held each other, read the letter, and cried.
Yeah.
And when you read that kind of those kinds of thank you letters, it really puts things in perspective in terms of the difference that our advocates make in the lives of people.
And that's absolutely true. It is so gratifying. And now that I know about the Healthcare Bureau and our listeners know about the Healthcare Bureau, it seems to me that some of these folks, as they run into problems, maybe they should just be saying to their insurer, "I'm going to report you to the Healthcare Bureau," and maybe some of these things will get taken care of by themselves.
Yes.
Yep. Well, let's make sure we have contact information out there so people can get in touch with you. Listeners can just dial the helpline number 1-800-428-9071. And I also know there's more information on the website at the Attorney General's office, and I have www.ag for Attorney General, ag.ny.gov. And people can get more information at either of those. Am I right, Jim?
That's true.
Very good. And we will put those, the phone number and the web address, on our HealthLink On Air website as well. Well, James Deering, Bureau Chief from the New York State Attorney General's Office Health Bureau, this has been a great conversation. I thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.